boys. Welcome to In the Grip Podcast. I'm Josh Berry. Been a while, AJ, but I'm glad to have you back, buddy.
Yeah, it has been a little while, but we are back, and we're going to do another episode and talk about golf and hopefully bring some good content for the people. But what have you been up to? I haven't seen you for a while. What have you been doing?
Nothing, man. I've been working and mowing. I thought mowing was about done, but started raining again, so here we are. And really, I haven't played much golf. Last time I played, we'll talk about it, but yeah, I haven't seen you. Tonight we're doing this a little bit different. It's just you and I, just the OGs, as we said earlier. So
that's right.
Maybe every 10 episodes we just do it like this. I didn't get home until kind of late tonight, so we're just FaceTiming tonight, so it feels weird that I'm sitting here at this bar in my garage all by myself, but I got my 3 or 4 beers sitting by me, so I'm still ready to drink some beer with you.
Yeah, we're not right there together, but yeah, we're still gonna have fun while we do this. And yeah, you know, I haven't been playing much golf either, so I don't have a ton to talk about there, but a few things. Luckily, me and you played a couple different tournaments, so we can both kind of touch on those. And then,
yep.
And then it's the middle of October, but we still have a few tournaments left that we can play in, so we'll get into those too, kind of make sure everybody knows what's going on there. And yeah, let's get talking.
Yep, I'm excited.
Well, let's jump into, you played the Mike and Mike down at Hannibal Country Club. And
yeah.
Let's jump into that and tell us, yeah, some people may not even know what that format is or whatever. Other people know it because it's been around quite a while. So, yeah, just kind of elaborate on that one.
So what the Mike and Mike is, it was originally started by Mike Bross and I'm not gonna lie to you, AJ, I don't know the other Mike. Mike Stout. Perfect. Yeah, what makes sense now that you say that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I guess Stout got out of it, and now Jay Mosley took it over in his spot. So it's Mike Bross and Jay Mosley, and they run it, and it's run the same way. I had no clue what it was. It's a 2-man best ball, but it's handicapped. So Josh Butterfield called me and wanted to play in it. And so I took an 8 handicap down there with me. He took a 6, I think is what he was. A 4 or 6, I can't remember. Anyway, and so obviously you take the best score on that hole. And you play 27 holes. You play on Sunday. Well, on Saturday, early afternoon, they have a Calcutta. The only thing the golf course gets, this was at Hannibal Country Club, the only thing they get is the entry fee. And then, obviously, you know, you're playing for the Calcutta money. So the minimum bid per team is $400. And then with that $400, so let's say you and I go for the minimum, we have to buy $50 back. So it's not bad. No, I tell you what, it's $50 a person back minimum if that's all you want to buy. So it's $100 for your team if you go for 4.
So you have to buy at least a quarter of your team back?
Yes, you have to no matter what.
Okay, and you can buy up to half your team back?
Up to half your team, and I think you can buy your full team back if that person will sell it to you.
Okay.
But it's just like every other competitor, they don't have to.
Right, okay.
But yeah, the most they have to go is at least half. Anyway, so we went down there to that, and there was a couple other teams that some of our listeners close to Monroe will know is Ed Thomas and Randy Potterfield, which I thought was a pretty good team. Their handicaps are pretty good for a deal like that. And then Brian Williams and Kyle Fulton. And a little side note to this, I remember sitting at the dugout on Saturday before, and Mike was sitting by me. I was up there eating lunch, and Mike said, yeah, I got Kyle going to that. He's like, they have no business, yada, yada, yada. I said, well, I'm going with Potterfield. So, I mean, if Kyle and Brian have no business, then me and Potterfield probably don't have any business going either. And, of course, you good guys kind of get screwed in a deal like this because it's handicapped, obviously. So I get where he's coming from. Anyway, Potterfield and I think we shot 8. Good enough to get 5th, good enough for $0. So we donated. Anyway, we're coming in. We're in the second to last group because you play 18 holes and you come back in and then they reflight everybody. Well, they don't reflight you. They just send you out in order, right? So there were 2 teams tied at, I don't even remember what. I think they were tied at 6 and then there was 1 team at 5 and we were at 4. So anyway, there were 2 teams at 4. We were in the second to last group and then there were 3 teams in the leaders. So they were back behind us. So we go and we finish up and there's a bunch of guys around. I mean, there's probably 10 carts around the green on number 9. We're watching them come in. And so we watch them tee off and then we go back up there. And I mean, everybody is cheering for these Hannibal guys. There's 2 Hannibal teams, 2 Mosley teams, and then Kyle and Brian. And so me and Potterfield kind of watched them hit their second shot. Kyle hits a eagle. He was putting for eagle. He hit it to about 20 feet from, I don't know, 150 yards or so. So we go driving up there, and I mean, there's all the little guys, and they're all yelling, you know, pulling for their boys. And I pull up there, and I look at Potterfield, and I'm like, you better believe we're going to get loud for these Monroe guys. And he's like, oh, dude, ain't no doubt. So Kyle hits one on, and we just start going freaking nuts because they have the advantage now. Williams hits one up there on the fringe or something. And so the other 2 Hannibal teams are up there, but they're not any better than Kyle and Brian. Jay Mosley makes this putt for eagle, made a pretty long putt. And so Kyle had this, like a 20-25 footer, goes and he misses it by like 5-60. Another side note to this deal, it's just like the club championship. You play the ball down, you cannot move it at all, and you have to putt everything out.
Yeah, so it's real golf.
It's real golf. So Kyle now has this 5-6 footer, hits it, and it's sitting right on the lip. He just missed it right. It wasn't going to fall in. So he's getting pissed, thinking he blew it for his team, knocks his ball off the green.
Doesn't finish the hole.
So Brian Williams just starts laughing and turns and looks at me and Potterfield. And all the Hannibal guys are going nuts, you know, like, oh, yeah, you know, whatever. And so Williams looks at me and Potterfield and we're like, Brian, this, like, little 10-foot putt you have now all of a sudden got harder because you have got to make this. And I told Brian, I'm like, if you don't make it, you have to putt the ball in the hole or you're going to be DQ'd and you all aren't even going to get second or third. Anyway, so Brian goes, misses his 10-footer. It's sitting 3 inches out, chucks his putter in the trap, and he's pissed. And I go in the trap, grab his putter, and said, Brian, come here and get your putter. You're going to putt this 10-inch putt in the hole so you all win your $700. So he does. He calms down and puts his ball in, and they still won money, which was good. But it was funny to see. You know, because I do it all the time. You know, you hit that one on a Wednesday, and, you know, you free putt an eagle, so now you part, and you, you know, hit it off the green, and you storm off the green, and you're mad. And, you know, on Wednesday night, it's not a huge deal if it's inside the chrome, but in a deal like that, it's, yeah, it's all or nothing in that.
Yeah, that's completely different than what, you know, everybody that plays at Mosswood, you know, we always play in gimmies. So they actually go to an event where you got to finish. Yeah, it's something completely new. And yeah, I'm sure Kyle just wasn't thinking. And
he wasn't. And he was all worked up about it. You know, he was like on himself and everything for doing that. And I was like, oh, I mean, I would have done the same thing. I've been there. That's something that my dumbass would have done. So I couldn't be too hard on him about it. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. They still won money. He was mad that he didn't make his putt because, you know, that would have won him, I don't know, I think 2,800 was first. So, you know, but I mean, shit, they still won $700 and they ended up getting third, which is nothing to hang your head about. And Brian told me, we pulled up to them, we met them somewhere kind of in the middle. Well, I'll tell you what, it was after 5 holes. We were teeing off and they were on the green. And somebody told us, they were like, this group over here is making every putt. And so Williams came up, was talking to us, and he was like, So we're 6 under through 5 holes on this back nine. And he said, we're getting beat by one. I said, are you fucking kidding me? And he said, no. And by the way, the other team's at 6 under through 5 too. I was like, are you kidding me?
So this is on the final nine. So
the final 9 holes.
Okay. And they're just lighting it up. So do you remember what their like total score was for the 27?
Man, I don't. I should have got it from Brian or Kyle before I called you, before we, you know, started this, but I can't remember what it was exactly. I know that they screwed up Joe Thomas, so Joe and Quinn played in it, and Joe told them, just write down your score, what it is. And so they did that, and they got done, and they were like, hey, what are you guys at? And we're like, I don't know, we're at 4 under or something. And they were like, well, shit, we're at 4 over. And I was like, are you kidding me? And Brian's like, we didn't play that bad. So they wrote down what they actually shot instead of where they were getting strokes. So I was like,
yeah,
no, your card's fucked up. So then they go and they look, and of course he's writing it down and whatever. And he's like, I don't want to feel like I'm cheating, but he's like, honestly, I know that we should, like, so he wrote that they shot 6 under, and he was like, I really think we shot 7 or 8. Like, I'm not even saying that. He's like, but I can't write that down because I'm the one who fucked up the scorecard. And, you know, not that anybody wouldn't necessarily care. They know that obviously them guys aren't cheating. At least Monroe guys know that Brian Williams and Kyle Fulton aren't going to cheat.
Right.
But, you know, them Hannibal guys probably don't know. And that's what Brian said that. So he did the right thing, you know, but he's like, I know that we shot better than this. They just wrote it wrong. Because Joe told them to. So it is what it is. But fun tournament.
Yeah, so, and I also heard, so Joe and Quinn played in it, and I heard Joe played at scratch and Quinn played at +3, and I heard they still turned in a really good score, is that right?
So, yeah, I think they did. So they played with Kyle and Brian, and they were behind us on the front 18, and have you played Hannibal Country Club?
Yeah, I've been on it.
So, you know, the one that runs right there. So there's like 2 holes that run right by the road. One's a par 5 and one's a short par 4.
Yep.
So the short par 4, you can drive it, obviously, but it kind of has that, like, if you just hit like a 5 iron, you're going to be kind of down in that little valley and you're just going to chip back up at the green, like, I don't know, an 80 yard chip or something. So we were on the next tee box, and so I turn back and we keep watching these guys go. And, so I see this ball go just right of the green, and there's kind of like a hill there, and it just slopes down big time. So Williams was down there. He would have drove the green, and he was down there. All of a sudden, another ball comes in, and Quinn hits his driver and hits it to, I'm not shitting you, 3 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was wet and everything, and it just right where the ball hit, it just sat right there, and it was literally 3 feet, but for eagle. So, you know, I don't know. That's hard to deal with, whether, you know, it sucks for him. He's given, you know, strokes to the course, but yep, obviously he deserves that because he's really fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. It does. That format makes it really hard. It's amazing. I saw a stat on Twitter, and it said something like, basically, you know, like a 10 handicap for him to actually shoot better than his handicap in a tournament round is, you know, that's like one happens less than 30% of the time. And then for them to shoot like more than 5 better than their handicap, like if they have a legitimate handicap, it was like, you know, and especially doing it like in a tournament round, like the chances of that happening are like 1 in like 56,000. And but somehow when you go to this tournament, there is a 17 handicapper that shoots at least 5 better than its handicap every single time.
So, and with that being said, so Jay Mosley was his team won. He had a 17 handicap on his team. And so we're watching them come in, and they're doing this par 3, and this kid hits it up on the green, which I feel bad for the higher handicaps because they're kind of set up for failure. If they hit a good shot, then it's like, oh, you got to give them shit, right?
Right.
So he goes up there and hits 1 to 15 feet on this par 3, then goes and makes his putt, and everybody's giving him shit. And then Williams comes over to us, and he's like, this kid's supposedly 17 handicap, and he's like, he's hit the green all fucking day. He's like, he just can't putt. And he's like, he honestly should probably be a 12. And, you know, he knows. He played with him all day. But, you know, and it, I don't know. I just watched them guys come in, and he didn't look that bad to me. But, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just yeah. One of them deals. Them higher handicaps kind of are set up for failure. You're either supposed to play like shit, or if you play good, you know, you get shit for it.
Yeah, it's, yeah, I don't know. You just gotta, sometimes I wonder how did they come up with their handicap, you know? Is this legit entering into gin every single round of golf that you play, or, you know, what's going on here? But, so, yeah, that's why, like, I've played in that tournament before, but I definitely avoid it now. I feel like, maybe this year would have been a good year to play in it, though, because there wasn't as many teams, and maybe you could sneak one in. You go, you know, someone like me goes and shoots 5 or 6 under and actually has a chance that day, where in the past I played and, like, a scratch golfer would literally have to shoot, like, 10 or 11 under par on 18 holes just to have a chance. And it's like, man. Well,
and here's the thing, too, is like I told Potterfield, if you were going to go play it, you know, like Joe and Quinn, I know they wanted to play probably to spend time together or whatever, father and son, that shit. They probably got in last minute, whatever. But, I mean, like, AJ, if you were to get in, honestly, your best bet would be to get, like, a me, a Kyle Bolton, a Randy Parn, a Grant Varth, you know, something like that. That way, you still have a guy getting some shots. Obviously, you're going to par, birdie, whatever, you know, you're going to get yours still, but for you and Mike Fulton to go down there would make zero sense, in my opinion.
Yeah, you got to, I mean, yeah, you got best ball of 10 under par around, and that's hard to do. I mean, you just said that three teams were, like, at least 6 under through 7 holes on their third nine, and, yeah, two plus handicaps can't do it, because if you're a plus handicap, right there, you have to be better than birdie golf for your best ball. So, I mean, it's not like there's eagle opportunities out there all the time. It just doesn't, the math doesn't add up. You can't get there. And so.
I know. I mean, it's like we go to Spirit and Butler, you know, had to give a couple shots, and obviously you do two every year. And Butler was like, so on this par three, I'm actually just supposed to hit this in the hole to get the shot, because you're telling me that I'm supposed to birdie this. And, you know, I understand why you good guys don't want to play in it, but that would be my thing on it is, you know, get a 8 or a 10 handicap and take with you. You know, you don't want somebody absolutely terrible, but if you got somebody that's kind of middle of the pack, like a shoemaker or a knocker, they'd be another, you know, good one to take.
Right. Well,
that team there, a shoemaker and a knocker would be pretty deadly. In a deal like that, if one of them catches fire.
Exactly. Well, if you guys go ahead and create this, what were you going to call it, the Josh and Josh?
Yeah, we talked about it on the way home, and I think it'd be fun, kind of, you know, don't make it $400, make right. It $200 minimum and stuff like that, but, you know, you good guys, just pick you up a 8 or 10 handicap and let's go play golf.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys have it, I'm for sure playing in it. And, you know, and just like every tournament, you know, we can sit there and complain because handicap guys win it or whatever. But guess what? I mean, if you want to win a golf tournament, you got to go play good golf. So just go play good golf and kind of shut your mouth.
Right. I don't know. There's a million ways you could do it. I still got to talk Potterfield into it. We were talking about it on the way home. Think it'd be fun, but that's just something to think about, something to talk about.
Right. Cool. Well, all right. Anything else from that tournament that really stood out or anything like that?
No, but was that the same day you all were at Pittsfield, or was that?
No, that was later. That was the weekend. So we were just in Pittsfield this last weekend.
All right, so what happened there?
All right, so Pittsfield had their big three-man, their fall three-man they have every year. And I played in it the last 2 years. And so this year they had 45 teams in this three-man. They sent us all out at one tee time. So all 45 teams were
45 teams in a three-man?
We're all on the golf course, on a nine-hole golf course, all at the same time. So we teed off at So we teed off at 8 a.m. They did a pretty good job of getting us off right at 8 a.m. both days. But round one Saturday took 8 hours and 15 minutes. Round two on Sunday took 8 hours and 15 minutes. It was pretty much the same way the year before. And I actually remember making a comment. I played with Butler and Robert Dow the year before. And I remember making a comment to him, don't ever invite me back to this golf tournament. And then I got invited to play with Butler and Mike Fulton, so I kind of had to go. And it was the same way. I mean, it was just going out there and just being able to survive an 8-hour round of golf. I mean, that's something in itself. And we were lucky enough. We shot 15 on day one and had a one-stroke lead. And then day two, we shot 14. And that was good enough for a one-stroke win for the tournament. So we actually won the tournament. So it made it worth it to go over there. But, man, could you imagine going and playing eight-hour rounds of golf and not making any money? That would have been.
I was going to say, I guess you all drank a lot of beer.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing, like, you know, when I look at my my net winnings for the weekend, it wasn't that good because, yeah, you had to eat a lot, you had to drink a lot just because you were out there all day long, and so I'm pretty sure the golf course won on that one. And
yeah, you're probably right.
But, you know, good for them, and fun tournament, a good little scramble golf course, kind of some drivable par fours that – lots of trees blocking the greens, things like that. You got to hit one hard at the green and get a little lucky if you're going to get on the green. Or, you know, like number one's this drivable par four that if you get going even the slightest bit left, like left edge of the fairway, it's going to kick into the water. And so you got three chances at it within three man. So somebody has to hit a good shot. And luckily, so that was hole one and hole 10 each day. On hole 10 both days, Mike Fulton knocked it on the green and then made the putt for the eagle both times. So had two solo eagles there. Good tournament. Obviously, I mean, you get 45 teams there and they're doing it every year. The flyer called for 36 teams. And so they hadn't, you know, an extra nine teams in it, so there's people that want to go play in it. On day two, we played in the final group, and the guys that we played with were all from like the St. Louis area, like Washington, St. Louis. So they traveled to come to this golf tournament. And
right,
yeah, I mean, it was fun. It was, you know, it was nice. We won two skins on day one. That helped out a lot. Honestly, I didn't play very good. I had just Mike, and Mike was being Mike, of course. He's always Mike. And then Butler was hitting it great. And yeah, we just went out and we played a little scramble. I think our team, I mean, to me, it felt like a really stacked team. We probably left quite a few out there. So I'm glad we still won. We should have won, you know, should have won Calcutta outright, but we didn't. We missed a short one on last hole. We had a par on a par five, maybe two pars on par fives. Just did a couple little stupid. There was one par three that we did not birdie the entire weekend, and it was a multi-hole par three. So, you know.
And you didn't get it either time?
No, either time both days. So little things, you know, it felt like we could have won that thing by like six, but then also looking back, I mean, we had some breaks too. We could have easily shot two or three worse. You'll have to ask Butler about this driver off the deck that Mike hit on Sunday. That was easily one of the top three greatest shots I've ever seen. And probably, I mean, Butler thought it was the best shot he's ever did. I should probably talk about this. So hole three at Pittsfield is this par five, and you're kind of down in the river bottoms, and you hit a tee ball out there. And if you hit driver, you get to this ridge. It's full of trees, and there's a little gap. And so you hit down to the bottom, and your second shot, you got to hit up this ridge, and it's a pretty steep ridge there. So if you get too close to it, you can't just rip three wood because you'll hit three wood right into the bank. And so on Sunday there, it was our second time around, I hit first and just knocked one into the trees. Just not a good shot. And then Butler kind of flares one off to the right, and it's in play, but we know it's probably blocked out by these trees. And so Mike tried to hit a little kind of a Chris Griffin punt driver or whatever, which he hit the day before and pulled it off nicely. But this time he pulled a little left. So now we're in trouble. We got to play Butler's ball. And we get up there. And so it's hard to explain, but so we're getting there and we're looking. So if you want to hit a punt shot under the trees, it's not a normal punt shot under the trees because you have this giant slope in front of you that goes up. So when you get to the top of the slope and then the bottom limb of the tree, there's probably only like a 2.5 foot gap there that you can actually flight it through. And we're 200 and almost 250 yards away from the hole. We're probably exactly 250 yards away from the hole. So to hit a ball that could actually get to the green in this situation, wind in your face too, you know, you gotta, yeah, you have to hit driver off the deck. You gotta be Mike Fulton to hit that shot. And so I hit first, and I actually tried to hit punch three wood under that little gap and did it, but it hung out to the left a little bit and hit a tree. And we just were not sure where it ended up from there. And then Butler hit one, and we were pretty sure his ball was out of play. And there was really no safe play. It's not like you could hit over the trees or anything. Like, the safe play would be, like, chip it over to the left and still have 240 from the bottom down there. And so Mike just pulls driver out, and his driver off the deck, and just sneaks it right through this little gap and, of course, hits it right in front of the green. And made birdie on the hole, and it was incredible. It was the shot. I mean, it was the shot that won the golf tournament. And the way I described it does not give it justice. I wish there was videos around the show. It was incredible. And
so, what made him want to hit a driver off the deck on that?
Well, because he knew. So you're basically hitting a punt shot that, like, I don't really know how, because of the slope in front of you. And once it gets above the slope, you still got to climb this hill the rest of the way. So to figure out a club that will actually, like, fit that window that will go through that little gap, you know, I was able to do it with three wood, but that's because I can hit a three wood that kind of stays low and rises a little bit. And Mike, I guess he just felt like driver, like he could somehow get driver in that gap, which I never would have thought of in my life, never would have thought of. And he pulled it off. It was just an incredible golf shot.
When Fulton grabs that, I mean, that's not like if I grab a driver off the deck, you know, kind of in a critical situation, you all are going to be like, all right, Barry, maybe this ain't the time to hit this, you know, quit fucking around and hit a three iron up there.
Yeah, it's so yeah, first thing, as soon as I saw the club come out of the bag, my first thought is like, let's talk him out of that, because I know I hit a tree. I could legitimately be out of play. We know Butler's out of play for sure. Like, if he doesn't fit this through the gap, most likely if he doesn't pull this shot off, the ball's out of play. Like, good chance that we have three lost balls and we're going back to the same spot and trying to hit again. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's Mike Fulton, so you don't talk him out of it. You just kind of sit back and watch. And he pulled it off. It was incredible. It really was.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Being since Mike, you can't, you know, say, you know, hey, let's do something different here. You know, if that's what he's going to do, he's going to do it, and you're just going to sit back and watch the show.
Right, yeah, I mean, he's the legend. You don't, I mean, who am I to say, Mike, I'm going to talk you out of this driver off the deck trying to fit it through a window that's 2.5 foot wide, and on top of that, the window is like 40, yeah, it's probably 30 yards away from us. So, like, I don't know if you practice any punch drivers off the deck here lately, but if you haven't, this is like an incredibly tough shot. And
yeah,
so that's what's going on in my mind. And but yeah, I did what I was supposed to do. I just sit back and shut up and watched it happen. And yeah, it worked out. It was incredible. So I couldn't imagine those guys from St. Louis. You know, they came up there. One of the groups, they had won it the previous year. And the other group, I don't know if they'd ever played with Mike before, but I'm sure they, at the end of it, they were just like, yeah, I mean. And they were making every putt, every single putt. And, of course, we weren't. Like, we made a couple putts, but we won it by hitting the ball better than them. And I'm sure it just wore them out at the end of it, too. But
well, that sounds about like Mike's game as well. He normally doesn't win a tournament by making putts. He just hits them inside 3 feet and then makes the 3-footer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, and he did it often, so often the weekend. It was fun. It, you know, if you're going to be out there for 8 hours playing golf, you might as well be doing it, getting to watch Mike Fulton hit golf shots.
And, no shit.
And so it made it better. I mean, I was exhausted after that tournament. I'm sure everybody that played that tournament was exhausted after that. But I'm glad we went because we won first. We did a little first, tied for first, and put a little money in the pocket. So that's, I mean, that's always the goal. That's good. It's nice to go over and steal that Illinois money, too.
Oh, hell yes, it is.
Yeah, but
did you have to pay taxes on the money you won over there?
I'm sure we'll get something in the mail here in a little bit. Yeah. From their Secretary of State or something like that. And yeah.
Yeah, you'll get something in the mail. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's but yeah, that's Pittsfield, like in a nutshell. I mean, that's how it went down. They do theirs pre-flighted. So they have 4 pre-flighted flights. So Championship, ABC, and you know, like there was, when you looked at the end, when you looked at all the flights, I mean, nobody in the flight under would have made money in the flight over. I did hear one conversation I thought was kind of funny, a team in B flight. I heard them talking after the round. They had shot 6 under day one in B flight, and they were a couple back. Somebody had shot like 10 or 12 in B flight even. And they turned around and shot 9 under day 2 in B flight, and that was good enough for first in Calcutta. And I heard them say something, yeah, you know, you don't want to, for guys that don't know who you are, you don't want to shoot too good on day 1. I was like, are they seriously sandbagging in a pre-flighted tournament? And so there might have been a little of that in B flight, but it also, when you look at it, like, so they kind of put themselves out of tournament money when they did that. And so their only chance to win money was Calcutta money, and there wasn't that much in Calcutta. So they probably didn't do themselves any favors by doing that. But, yeah, I mean, there was 11 teams in championship flight, which made it good. And there was like, let me see. There was, we finished first, and there was 2 teams that finished 1 stroke back of us. So we shot 29 under, and there was 2 teams that shot 28. So it was really close, a really good tournament. Championship flight was exciting, and yeah, it was nice to win. Nice to come out on top. But yeah, so that's the Pittsfield story, and I'm probably going to say it again. Nobody invite me back to that place unless they can promise me a round that's under 8 hours. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, I don't blame you, and I don't know that I want to do that. I think that if I did, play in a tournament that took 8 hours, I'd probably be bad news, like a whole 12 and on. I might as well not get out of the cart.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, I saw guys laying down on the ground. I did time it, so The biggest wait was always between hole 2 and 3. So we finished hole 2, looked down at my clock or whatever, tried to turn on some music. And it's the worst place, too, because there's no service between 2 and 3. So you can't listen to your music anymore. You can't look up scores of football games. I mean, you just got to sit back there. And it was from the time we finished the hole till when we hit our tee shot on the next hole was 35 minutes. That one wait right there.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So it was it's a whole different animal when it comes to scrambles. I mean, I've played plenty of slow rounds, but this one is it's an elite slow round. There's no slower round of golf out there. There can't be. There's not enough daylight to be slower.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I don't know that I've ever been in an 8 hour long. I mean, I don't know that I have. You know, I mean, if you got a rain delay or something, I can see something like that. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever seen 45 3-man teams on 9 holes at the same time. That was pretty incredible. Surprised nobody got hit by a ball.
No shit.
Yeah. So actually, that's not true. Hunter Feldworth was in my group day one. He got hit by a golf ball. Left a big old giant bruise on his leg. Yeah, that's right. So probably multiple people got hit. So.
If you get hit by a ball, first thing I do is laugh at you.
Yeah.
And then obviously I ask if you're all right. But if you get hit, I mean, I'm going to laugh at you for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's no fun. I got hit in Kirksville this year. It's no fun to get hit.
On that 3-man?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, we talked about the Mike and Mike Pittsfield. We got to talk about a club championship because it is coming up on Sunday. And I think we have 22 teams, people signed up for it right now. And hopefully we'll get this podcast out so a lot of people can listen and hopefully make a decision. First thing I got to say is the weather looks amazing. If we can just get through, it's going to rain some more tonight, and then there's chances throughout Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday, we got sunshine. So, the weather looks as good as it possibly could for having the club championship this late in the year.
No, you're exactly right. Looks like a chance of rain about every day, and then this weekend it's just going to be money. So, any guys that are thinking about getting in, weather's definitely not going to hold you up. And you farmers, it's going to be too wet to do anything. So guys like Scrap, and I think Benson's in, Buford, Keith Paris, there's no reason for you guys not to go ahead and get in.
Right. Yeah, there's plenty of room available. Well, I mean, we're only playing 18 holes, so we got plenty of daylight. We're going to start tee times at noon, so everybody can go to church if they want to please their wives and go to church and still get out there.
So, AJ, do you have a list of who's in?
I don't have it on me. Let's see. I can probably think of most of the names off the top of my head.
I mean, should we do the featured group that's going to be playing, up at the dugout on TV?
Yeah. How the hell do we do that?
We're really not doing that, but we're just going to make up who our featured groups are. Who are the groups to watch? Who do you think? So tell me who's going to be. I mean, you're running this damn thing. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
So who's – are you doing groups of 4, groups of 5, groups of 2, 3?
Yeah, we'll just see how many total people – so for the most part, it's going to be groups of 3 or 4. If there's only 5, right now there's 5 signed up in the senior division. If there's just those 5, we'll send all 5 of those out together. Everybody else is going to be in groups of 3 and 4. And to find out who the final group is in the championship flight, I'm not sure. I'll probably just draw names out of the hat, really. Keeps it fair that way. But everybody who plays in the senior division or open division, you're going to finish before the championship division finishes. So my hope is that everybody, as soon as they get done, they kind of go back out and watch the end of it there. And I'm sure there'll be enough communication. Everybody will know where everybody's at. So it should be.
So is everybody going off 1?
Yeah, everybody will go off 1. Yep. Yep.
So are you gonna have the old guys go off first, and then the open division you'll have them just trickle out and go, and then you'll have championship flight guys go?
Yep, that's exactly.
That'll be awesome. And it's just you play straight up 18 holes, come in, and that's your score?
Yep. Yeah, just 18 holes of stroke play. There's no handicap or anything. You're going to post your score in your division, and you're just trying to win your division for that day, for those 18 holes. And that's going to determine our champion this year. And, I mean, the format's going to be – it's stroke play, but it's not like men's league per se, because we're going to have to finish everything. There's no gimmies. You finish everything. Likely, looking at the weather, likely we're going to have to play ball in hand in some way, shape, or form. So it'll probably be, ball in. So play it up in your own fairway, or maybe, and we might have to play it up everywhere depending on how wet it is. But that doesn't really matter. Sometimes I got to play it up on the PGA Tour too, so in wet conditions. So, but we've had a lot of rain, so likely that's going to be the case. But other than that, we're just out there playing a real golf round. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's something that we don't always do, and a lot of other golf courses do. So I think once guys do it, and actually, even when you stand over a little two-footer and you got to make it, or you got a little two-footer to win your club championship, it's probably a little different feeling than what you've had before. So it'll be good for people, to experience that.
Oh, hell yeah. That's like we were talking about that Mike, and there'd be a lot of, you got that little foot and half-foot putt now that, you have to make. They're nerve-wracking when normally you just, rake them and let's go on to the next.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different thing. So, I don't know. When I looked at the list, there's a lot of guys that aren't on the list that I know listen to this podcast that, look, I made it pretty simple. You don't have to be a member to play in this club championship. I said, if you play our scrambles, like if you're a regular that comes to our scrambles, Hunter Felderworth from Louisiana, he's going to come play in championship flight. And Tim Schrag, same way. Tim, he plays a couple men's league rounds a year, and then he plays the majority of our scrambles. So, he's qualified for it. And so you don't have to be a member to play in this thing at all. If you frequent Mosswood, you're eligible. Come play some golf.
Funny story about Schrag real quick is when we were at Baggett's bachelor party, I was talking to Tim, and I asked him what was one of his favorite tournaments of the year, because obviously he plays in a bunch of them, and he told me Mosswood's one, man.
Yeah, it's actually pretty common. I talked to Lance Markert this weekend, and he said the same thing. He played in it this last year, and he told me it was pretty much his favorite format that he's played in. And so, yeah, once guys try, they realize the one man's awesome. It really is. So,
yep. It's my favorite. I've told everybody if there was as many guys signed up in the one man as there are in the four man, there wouldn't even be a debate about it. But, it is what it is. The four man is still Mosswood's baby. But I love that one man.
Yeah, me too, actually, man. All right, we talked about club championships since we were kind of talking about one man here. Let's talk about some other tournaments that are coming up. People can still play in, It's the weather's still good, so there's still opportunities to play. And so in Moberly, it'll be the Saturday the 23rd. They're having a one man there. And I think you're signed up for it, right?
I'm in. I know that Flutie is in. I know that Butler signed up for it. Baggett might be in now. So you got some of our kind of core guys that listen to this thing that are signed up. So Baggett told me that's an awesome track. So I'm looking forward to going and playing it. And I'm going to play as long as the weather's good. If the weather's shit, gets cold or rainy or whatever, I'm obviously not going to do it. But late October. Hell, I'll play in it. It'll probably be my last one of the year, but I'm excited for it.
Is it one day, 27 holes?
Yes. 9, Calcutta, you know, just like everything that you know, we do, that like the Mike and Mike and all that crap. You play 9 holes, come back in, Calcutta and all that, go back out. So it's not a 2-dayer. Them 1-day 27 holes, I love the tournaments.
Yeah.
I like our 2-day tournaments as well, but, you know, if you're going to, you know, La Plata or Kirksville or something and it's a 2-dayer, it kind of sucks just driving there or whatever. But, you know, these 1-day 27 holes are about perfect for me.
No, I agree. And get it done in 1 day if you got, if you got wife and kids that you want to do stuff with on the weekend, that it doesn't take up your whole weekend. It's it makes an opportunity for a lot of the people that can't do the 2-day ones. So, I don't know. I said this club championship was going to be my last one, but if there's a good group from Monroe heading to Heritage Hills and the weather's right, I might try to get in that one too.
That's, like I say, that's probably my last one of the year, and I hope that I get a plan and hope weather holds up, but
yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
All right. If somebody's still looking for a tournament and they can't play that one, the Sunday, the day after, the 24th, that's when the Polar Bear is over at Westview, which it's a 2-man scramble. It's been going on for a really long time, and I've actually played in it quite a few times. Sometimes the weather gets really cold for that one, but so there's another opportunity there if you're still looking for something to do.
Oh, yeah. There's still golf out there to be played if you're wanting to travel a little bit and do it.
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. We're getting to the end of the year. It feels like the end of the year, but the weather just hasn't really turned for us, so we might as well still try to play some golf, right?
Hell, yes. And like AJ and I were talking about earlier, we were talking about keep doing this thing. You know, when there's snow on the ground or it's cold, everybody's thinking about wanting to play golf anyway. Everybody's going to get the itch here come, you know, beginning of the year, February, March. So I think we're just going to keep on rolling this thing as long as we got listeners and people that are interested in it. So we've been talking. We got some good guys kind of lined up to go ahead and hop on this pod. Some good guests, so we're excited about it, looking forward to it, and can't wait to keep this thing going all winter long.
That's right. Just because there's snow on the ground doesn't mean we can't bring you guys some golf content, and I don't know if, you know, I won't be as busy at work, so they'll give me a chance to actually come up with some good stuff to share with everybody. And keep you all interested in the game and, you know, talking about it. So whenever the weather does get right and we can go out and play, we're all excited and ready to go.
I'm looking forward to keeping this thing going. So.
Yep. All right. We do need to mention, need to throw this out. So our men's league match play finished up tonight and we had a 2-time winner.
Yeah. Will Conrad. Congratulations, buddy. Good win. I know he knocked my old man out. My old man was making a little run, and he knocked Ronnie Dean out. So, Will's tough in that deal, man.
Oh, yeah, like, man. He slays out there. He's, he's a 2-time champion. He won this year, not last year, but the year before. And then, Buzz might be a 3. He might have won the first 3 years of this thing. But that's we haven't had this going on very long, and there's only been 3 champions, right?
I think so. So did you say Buzz has won twice that I know? Will's won twice now. Has somebody else won it?
I won it last year.
Oh, yeah, you won it. And weren't we talking about this in an earlier pod? You were playing Eagle, and, like, you could have shot – you were like 6-under or something through 17 or something stupid.
Yeah, I was 9-under through 16, and still, I birdied 16 to get to 9-under, and I still did not win the match. We had to go play 17, and
that right there is a line for the pod. I was 9-under through 16, and I was still playing golf in match play.
Yep, and if I would have been 8-under through 16, I don't think I win that match. I think he ends up getting me on hole 18.
That is stupid.
Yeah, it's crazy. But luckily, it was just enough. And
hell, I forgot you won.
Yeah. So, yeah, and you know what's crazy? Crazy, in that one, I played CJ Hayden in maybe the first round, probably first or second round of that deal. And we went to extra holes, and he should have won that thing. He actually ended up hitting 2 OB on the first extra hole, and I'm pretty sure if he would have just hit 1 OB on the first extra hole, he beats me, and I don't have a chance to win the whole thing. Yeah, it was fun day though. It was nice to get that win, and congratulations to Will Conrad, 2-time champion of the men's league match.
So I'm guessing Will's going to get signed up for this club championship. Then hell, he's going to try to get his name on both of them, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand why he won it. Actually, I hope all those Palmer guys. I hope that they all have the opportunity to have the day free or whatever. They can come over and do it. Because they show up every Wednesday, so they need to show up for this club championship, too.
Yep. Hell yes. The more, the better.
That's right. And also, here's another thing. For those guys that are going to come out there and play, even if you're not playing, come out and watch or whatever. But we're getting to the end of the year, so our inventory for all our food and our beer and everything, it's got to go. So show up and let's try to finish the year outright for the golf course, and let's try to buy everything that's in there.
I never have heard it being hard for Monroe guys to buy beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect opportunity. Perfect. I mean, weather's going to be perfect. You get to watch some awesome golf, get to play some awesome golf, and there you go. Throw some beer in there, and now you're happy, right?
Hell yes. Monroe boys ain't scared to drink it.
There we go.
So, well, you got anything else, or what are you thinking?
No, man. It was nice to get back on here and talk to you. It felt like it'd been a little while since we got one out there. And so, let's get this one out there to kind of promote the club championship. Everybody can hear our stories from our last couple of events. And then let's just focus on like what we're going to do next with this podcast, because if we got guys listening to this thing, we need to bring them some entertaining content that they can enjoy. And I mean, it's fun to do that, so let's do it.
Yep, let's get our listeners on. Let's get them involved. Shit, it's fun. So I mean, we play golf with them every day. We're talking to them every day about golf, so we might as well get them on here and record it, you know?
Exactly. But, all right, man. Well, we better shut it down for this one. I enjoyed it, like always. And until next time, like right? I said, it's
different you and a guest not being here, but it kind of feels good just being the OGs again.
Yeah. We started this thing. Yeah, every now and then we got to sit down and do this. We'll just have an episode every now and then. It's just me and you, and we just talk about golf. That's the way it started.
Yep, hell yes. So, all right, boys. Well, had a good one. What's this, number 11?
Ooh, it might be 12.
Ooh, might be 12, even better.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, AJ, I'm out, buddy.
All right, man.
Have fun. I'll be talking to you Sunday, and we'll have to do a pod early next week and talk about this club championship. Hopefully we got I'm looking at the champion in the champion flight division, and hopefully you're looking at the open champ in the, you know, in that division. So
let's go do it. There's no reason not to do it. Let's go do it.
All right, boys. We'll holler at you later. Thanks for listening.
All right. See you, everybody.